G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today, our guest host is Grace Buckman.
Hello and welcome to History Makers. I'm Grace Buckman, and today we're chatting with Homer Hargrove, a Christian man based in San Antonio in Texas and the pastor of Gravetop Church. He's an incredible man of God with a very impactful ministry, and looking forward to hearing more about it today. So welcome to History Makers.
I'm really glad to be here, Grace.
So first of all, love for you just to tell us a little bit about your background. Where were you born and raised?
So I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas, but growing up, I moved around a lot. Parents weren't military or anything, just like to move a lot. So I went to 4 different elementary schools, 2 different middle schools, 3 different high schools. So I lost all school spirit really early on. It was mainly about the South's, like throughout the South of the U.S., like Texas, Florida. And I was never raised in church. It was something that my family was kind of really dysfunctional growing up, and was never taught the Bible, never raised in church. My mom was kind of superstitious in the sense that she would like leave candles out, you know, hoping that I would, you know, protect to that extent, but nothing truly spiritual.
Yeah. And for you, so because I know sometimes we talk to people who have grown up in a Christian home and others who had no exposure to that at all. What did it look like for you in terms of actually coming to know and accept Jesus as part of your testimony?
Yeah, that was a really radical change. So like I said, I wasn't raised in church, and early on through, I guess you would say, neglect and feel unstable home, I really developed like an inner rage as like a youth, and it translated, I mean, it was really hurt and translated into rage. And so I really got, at a young age, I was really into drugs and alcohol, violence, gangs, stealing, and it was not only just like really self-destructive when it came to addictions, but just pure violent and destructive to people around me, and that kept leading me into this darker and darker place. I remember there was a point where, like, while other kids were thinking about what college they were going to go to, I was thinking about maybe one day I could join the Mexican cartel. It was like, that was my aspiration, was one day I wanted to work towards being a professional criminal. There's a lot of times where I didn't have anywhere to stay. I would sleep outside. I would steal for food. And it was just, I started feeling more and more, at first numb, and then this darkness just like kept getting louder and louder in my life. And there's a moment where it's like this just ooga booga stuff started happening to me. And there's a specific moment where I remember just trying to go to sleep and hearing audible screaming in my ears. And it was like terrifying to me. It was like really freaking me out to the point where I was scared to open my eyes. And I would, be going throughout the day. And here I was, you know, at the time at like a young thug who was terrified of the dark. And one day, like I said, my mom was superstitious, and so were my sisters. And so one day my sister had told me if I left a Bible open to Psalm 23, it would keep demons away. And I was willing to try anything at that point. I was just in a really desperate place. It's not that I was like necessarily against God, but it's just never something in my life. And I found this old King James Bible that I don't even know how it got amongst my things. And the bookmark happened to be on Psalm 23. And it was, you know, like exactly what I needed, because I wouldn't even know how to find it. I didn't even know there's different books in the Bible. I thought it was Psalms 23. And I read that verse, and it's the verse, you know, though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I'll fear no evil. And man, when I read that, I felt like my soul just felt this peace, like this comfort. And it was almost like I felt like when I was reading that, like that, like God was telling me it was going to be okay, and that he could protect me. And I just felt so good in that moment. And that night I just kept reading through the book of Psalms, and just Psalm after Psalm. And I left the Bible open like that. And that night was the first night in a long time that I slept good and that I didn't feel afraid. From there, I knew, I never really went to church, but I did know that people go to church on Sunday. So I made this habit to where I would get up early in the morning, make some coffee, smoke weed, and then read the Bible. And this simple process I did, even in like my ignorance of not really knowing what I was getting into, when I would read scripture, I felt this something just different than any high I'd ever experienced. And it was something so pure, and it just superseded anything I had done. And the more and more I would read about God, and I started from Genesis. I was like, I could just, you know, I don't know where else to start. I just started reading from front to back. And around, there's just one day where around the book of Leviticus, where I was reading about all of the different sacrifices that the Levitical priests would make to make atonement for the people of Israel. And I had to put it down for a second, and I just started getting kind of like just tripped out. And I was like, man, how am I going to catch a bird and kill it like this? And I was like genuinely concerned about how I was going to make this type of like ritualistic sacrifice for my sins to be forgiven, because I wanted to be right with God now. And then it clicked for me for the very first time that was why Jesus died on the cross. I never really understood that before. And so in the book of Leviticus, where most people write off, say, just skip that book, that's where like the Holy Spirit made the message of the cross clear to me. And just there at the table I'd read at, I made this really simple prayer. It was genuine though. And I just prayed for Jesus to be the Lord of my life and the Savior to my soul. And I prayed that I wanted to know what this life was like. And I prayed that I wanted to follow after him. And even then, I guess the Holy Spirit just works in unique ways. I didn't even know what I was saying, but I remember specifically saying, I want to be a sheep in your flock, and I want to bring other sheep with me. And it's just so, you know, funny how years later, now I'm a pastor. I didn't necessarily ever think I'd be a pastor. But that was a moment for me where not even stepping a foot in a church yet, this moment where I had this genuine revelation of Christ and the fact that he died for me, that he loved me. And there's no, for me, I knew that things I had done were bad. There's no question of whether or not I needed forgiveness. But the fact that I realized in that moment that God loved me despite the things I had done. And, you know, that was a monumental moment for my life.
Yeah, that is beautiful. And I love that even sometimes, you know, of course, we, like you said, we do see that people will go to church, they may hear the salvation message and the altar call, but there is so much power just in the simple word of God and how that can bring us to repentance, to knowledge of Jesus. So it's a beautiful story. And I think you're very right in saying sometimes we're too quick to skip over the Old Testament, but when we can read through that and see what it looked like with the sacrifices, and it just really brings up the true nature that we are so far separated from God unless we have Jesus. So I love that was a big part of your story. And then it's the beautiful kindness and grace and goodness and mercy of God through Jesus that really brings us that true revelation and that beautiful conversion for you. And so once you had that radical conversion, what did it look like in terms of going back to church, the people that you were hanging out with, the old lifestyle to the new lifestyle? What did that look like?
I had not even any connection to church. I didn't even know how to like necessarily choose a church or if there's different kinds of churches. I was, and even when it came to like the Bible, that was also the first book I ever read. I never even read a book before. And so this was all new, but what was so unique was that I started feeling convicted of sin without anyone telling me to don't do this or don't do that. It's like one by one, I was feeling like I need to change this, and feeling like it was something in between me and God. And even when it came to like drugs, I was doing, I stopped doing coke, stopped popping pills, stopped doing, you know, one by one. And the last thing that I was holding on to was smoking weed. And I remember by that time, someone had finally invited me to church, and I was like really rough around the edges. So as unique as it sounds, right before he invited me to church, I was telling myself, you don't have to hit this guy. And I wanted to hit him. He annoyed me. He like irritated me. I wanted to hit him. And then he was like, do you have a church? You want to come with me to church? I was like, oh, well, I am looking for a church. So I guess I'll try that. And when I started going to that church, it was just more so coincidental that at this point, I was in this place where I was trying to really hold on to smoking weed. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me something. And so I decided I'm going to do a 7-day fast and not smoke weed for 7 days. And by the third day, God had just made it so clear to me that as much as I try to justify it, what he's really showing me is not as much that he's trying to condemn me, but he was showing me that I could trust him with peace. And that's really what I was holding on to, is I was terrified of how I was going to handle my emotions, my like life, without being able to have weed to deal with my trauma. And there's this just specific day, January 27th, 2010, where God showed me I could trust him with that peace. And that happened to be the same day that the church was doing water baptisms. And so I just, you know, I borrowed someone else's clothes and went, and that was kind of, I make it my spiritual birthday, because that's when I realized I could trust God with all of my life, even the parts that aren't, you know, necessarily like ritualistic, just like my peace of mind. And after that, again, I had a lot of work to do as far as, you know, building my character and honing in on being a righteous person, kind and compassionate. And I just kept planting myself in these like volunteer roles. Like, I remember one of the first things I volunteered at was like a youth car wash. And while I was scrubbing a tire, one of the like young leaders started talking to me in a like belittling way. And I don't think he thought he was talking like that, but it was kind of, you know, just rough and belittling, like, hurry up, man. And I actually got up and, you know, talked to him with my finger in his face like that, like I was ready to fight him. And in that moment, everyone else looked at me and they told me I wouldn't last more than 2 weeks at the church. And when I went back down, I was like, wow, God, you really worked in my heart. I would have normally hit that guy. And my level of repentance looked different than their levels of repentance, because they had already been in the game for a while. I had just got there. And even though I looked so rough around the edges, I was pursuing God. And I saved up all the money I had that semester. And just only, I think I was only a Christian for about 6 to 8 months. And I saved up all the money I had going to school and working, and went to a ministry school that was about 10 months long. And that was like my first impression of church, was at this ministry school. And it was intense. It had like a surprise boot camp and things like that. Some things that were questionable. But one thing that I really did appreciate is that I had really a lot of hands-on ministry. And I would go into high schools and middle schools and lead these Christian clubs. And my heart was really just from the get-go that I felt like I had found the best-kept secret, and I wanted to share it with others. And I never perceived myself as being a minister per se. All I knew is that I wanted to share the gospel with others, to share something that gave me so much peace in life, I wanted to share with others. After I went to that school, I ended up going back to the church that I had first started going to, just with the mind of, I'm going to volunteer. And I started volunteering in the youth group. And I really think that it eventually made me the youth pastor, I think just because I kept showing up long enough. I outlasted like two or three other directors. And I think they're just like, well, this guy keeps showing up to move chairs. Let's just use him until we find someone more qualified. And through that faithfulness, I ended up getting this position of being a youth pastor, and then grew the youth group to this great size, where every event that we had, we packed out, you know, full buses to take kids to conferences. We'd always fill up our sign-up sheet for retreats, and it was just a great and powerful time and being able to minister to these young people. And it was great practice too, because I didn't know what I was doing, and some of them were going to church longer than I had. And so that was like the early stages of ministry for me, and I felt like it was just really one step at a time.
So you've gone through all of that. You've started getting into ministry, the youth. How did you then start to move more into pastoring Gravetop Church? Was that quite a journey? Something you ever thought you would do? How did that all look?
For the longest time, I never saw myself as being a pastor or a minister. Again, I just kept kind of just showing up. And I remember a day where I thought of one day being a pastor. And the next thing I thought was, if I'm going to be a pastor one day, I should start praying like a pastor. And I think that having an early grasp of the power of prayer really helped grow my faith in exponential ways, where I was really dependent on prayer. My wife and I were youth pastoring from about 2012 to 2016. And every year we do a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year. And in 2016, during our fast, I was really pressing in. And the day after that fast, I felt like God spoke to me really clearly about moving back to San Antonio to start a church. And I the first thing I thought was like, well, you're gonna have to convince my wife, God. I don't know about this. I'm all good, God, but you're gonna have to really speak to her. And when I brought it to her, she was like surprisingly, oh, I feel good about this. I was like, oh man, this is like starting to get serious. And then I brought it to our senior pastors and kind of like had this sense of like green lights that I wanted to in a sense have like a blessing to do what I felt like God was calling me to do, and kept getting green lights after green lights. And that was early in the year of 2016. And so I decided, once the decision was made, we took the rest of the year, which was about 9 months, to prepare for the youth ministry to transition to a new youth pastor. Because the biggest thing I didn't want to happen was to leave, like how in the past a youth pastor would leave and the youth would just collapse. And so I made it a real big point to transition well and to support the next person so that these kids would have healthy transition and leadership. And when it came to starting the church, it was really just out of prayer and feeling like God told us. And even when it came to how we planted the church, for us, it was, we felt very specifically that God told us to do like a parachute plant, where we just showed up and started having church, that we didn't do good marketing or special core team groups or building up a church before starting the church. It was really, really like old school. And our biggest heart is that we didn't want to just take people from other churches. We wanted to grow a church for the unchurched. And that's really what happened. And it was not easy. We started off in our apartment, our one-bedroom apartment. We left a three-bedroom house to one-bedroom apartment to start the church. And once we filled up our apartment long enough, after about a year, we moved into a bar during their off hours and did that for about a year. And then we moved and hopped and skipped around every year or so. And even right now, we're renting out a kid's dance studio during their off hours. And it's been incredible. And I feel like now that we're 6 years into our church, I feel like the first couple of years was really just knowing what we didn't want to be as a church. And then we really started to develop of who we felt like God was calling us to be. and developing our culture. And it's been a wild ride. There's a lot of times where I thought of quitting and not wanting to do it because of how hard it was. But at the end of the day, I loved what I was doing, and I'm so glad that we continued and stuck with it and endured those confusing times. Because I honestly say that I know it's biased, but it's the best church I've ever been a part of. I truly love our church and our church family, and I think that if I would have given up on it prematurely, it would have been one of the greatest regrets of my life.
It is that beautiful power of redemption and grace and his call and plan for people's lives as well. So it's been awesome to hear more about your story, your testimony, your journey through that sanctification process and then starting to pastor a church. And I know you've got a podcast as well, which is incredible. So tell us a little bit about where people can find you in terms of Gravetop, if they're located around that area, but also just the podcast and where people can find you.
Definitely. Yeah, so our church is Gravetop Church, and you can find us just at gravetopchurch.com, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Gravetop Church, as well as Spotify, Apple. And we put all of our content online. So we actually have a lot of people that are connected to our church that live in all different parts of the U.S., some other countries, but it's really cool how online it works. Even just being in Australia and the U.S. at the same time, that's our church, Gravetop Church. And then anyone that wants to connect with me, they could either find me at HomerDH3 on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and the podcast is called the Hidden Potential Podcast, and it's a podcast really for aspiring young leaders who are interested in ministry and are just starting out. My heart was, when I was getting started, I would listen to a lot of leadership podcasts, and I feel like there was kind of like a jump from, like, most of the leadership podcasts seemed like for more like seasoned leaders, and I felt like there's a lot of things I had to learn and assume before even being able to understand what they were talking about. And so the podcast I created was really to tap into your hidden potential, just starting out, for aspiring leaders, and being able to connect with that way.
Yeah, awesome. I know I've certainly been very blessed personally myself through your podcast as well. And I love that there is a space for people who are thinking about going into ministry. Maybe God is starting to put that on their heart and really equipping them, buying and showing that hidden potential that they have and helping them get to that next level as well. So yeah, that has been awesome to hear more about your testimony, ministry, and yeah, like we said, I've been very blessed by it, but it would definitely encourage anyone who's keen to hear more about the church, the podcast as well, to follow you there and be blessed by all of your content. So appreciate you so much coming on History Makers. I reckon you're a history maker. And yeah, looking forward to seeing more about your ministry in the years to come.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.
Matt Prater's latest book is now available. History Makers, devotions, downloads, and dad jokes. It will take you on a journey through God's Word and will hopefully give you a few laughs along the way. It's just $15 plus postage. Order now at historymakersradio.com. Discounts available for bulk orders. The heart behind this book is to challenge people to get into the habit of daily devotions with Jesus. Find out more at historymakersradio.com. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.